Well, as you can tell, regular listeners have noticed they haven't heard Rosie today. He is on the road, but I will tell you what hasn't changed. The number of Ford trucks that are sitting out in the parking lot today for the broadcast.
Yeah. I pulled up in my F-150, too.
That was purchased from?
Sanderson Ford.
So when you hear us talking about how we send all of our relatives to, I hadn't said it, Bruce is my brother-in-law, and you're always a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine, and Marine service, and works, does all. So what is your title?
Wearing a lot of hats these days. So still project manager, as many people heard for the Independence Day show, we had Sephora on, who's come on. So she's our newest project manager. So, but project managing, sales consulting, and then slowly spending a little more time in the office trying to keep up with all of that stuff. So we haven't added on another title yet, which is just fine with me.
Bruce, man of many hats. We've got him in a Sanderson Ford F-150, and then our infield supervisor, Don Breeze, of course, driving another Sanderson Ford F-150. It's not by accident, and it's not by accident Sanderson Ford's number one. If car buying's on your to-do, Sanderson Ford, 51st Avenue in Glendale, no matter where in the great state of Arizona you are, it's worth the drive to Sanderson Ford to just be treated right. But got to be today, never open on Sunday. We've got our weekly to-do that we have in our third segment here of the 10 o'clock hour, but we've got a couple calls. Let's knock them out real quick, and I can't bring them in because the buttons on my side don't work. Who do you want us to take first, Gary?
Why don't we go to Pauline? She has an interesting question here. Let me lock her in and say...
All right, Pauline in Casa Grande, and then Bruce in Tucson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am a loyal listener, so this is why I resorted to calling Rosie on the house for this question. I am currently having a new home build, and Thursday we went through the wiring and electrical and plumbing walkthrough. Prior to drywall installation, which is supposed to be done next week. I noticed that in the hall restroom, there's two restrooms, but in the hall restroom, we're having a tub installed. And I've been in the home before, and the drain pipe that where your water would go down through the foundation into the waste and so on. That looked normal before the tub was installed. After the tub was installed, I looked behind there just to see how much room I had and stuff like that. I noticed that the foundation had been drilled out in probably a good 18-inch circumference and partially filled in with cement. And they had re-piped what I would have expected the water to go down as all the other drains do, but they repiped it to go now and redirected it to go out through, I guess, an adjacent wall or the exterior wall by the where the sink is going to be. And my concern is the foundation and what they had to do to that foundation. And my superintendent guy said they do that with all the homes.
Yeah, well, with all the homes, that sounds like a line. building a home is a very complex thing. I mean, there's a lot of, it's simple, but it's very precise. I guess precise is a better word,
right,
over complex. And you have a lot of trades involved, and one mistake by one trade could really lead to a lot of problems for other trades. If you're off a quarter of an inch for here, you know, you're off a quarter of an inch over there. And so being plumb and square and having everything line up perfectly, it takes a lot of meticulous time and precision. And what it sounds like is who the people that were doing the underground plumbing that put in the drain, they're following the blueprints, and they piped the drain up where it was supposed to be, but they were off by whatever size you saw demolitioned. Yeah. So when the tub comes and it gets installed and they set it there, the drain is offset in the concrete from where it needs to be for the tub to line up with it.
Yeah.
And they could move the tub, but then you've already got the wall plumb because you mentioned electrical. So all the walls are already framed because you've got the electrical lines run through there. Moving that wall becomes very complicated. And so it's easier to cut the concrete, reset the drain to the right location, and then backfill. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. No, this is so obviously in a new home, you know, if you're not familiar with it, it'll look kind of alarming. But this happens in just about every bathroom remodel that exists. Drains need to be moved. You know, people are changing the size of the shower, that sort of thing. So for a slab in the house to be cut out, saw cut or cord or whatever, for a drain to be moved is not, 99% of the time is not going to be a concern. So that's pretty common.
And you mentioned slab, and that's something else I wanted to bring up, Pauline, is you said foundation. The concrete slab is not your foundation. The foundation is what's directly underneath your load-bearing walls. And underneath that concrete 4-inch slab at the wall, there's a much bigger concrete footing underneath it that is poured in place. So your structural foundation is around the edge of your home. The slab inside, I mean, you could saw cut your entire slab out.
Right.
And be absolutely fine. And
yeah, as long as it's not a post-tension slab. But even then, we do remodels in post-tension slab houses where we do saw cutting. You just have to be very careful. We bring in ground-penetrating radar, identify where everything is, how deep it is, where we can cut, where we can't. So even in those conditions, you can cut a concrete slab.
But congratulations on the new home, and hope it's everything you anticipate it to be. And you're at electrical. What do you think she's going to be moving in? My time frame and construction is so off.
Yeah,
skew. But
production builds right now, I just don't know where they're at. I mean, those guys still usually move pretty quick. You know, if you're a production builder, you can't take a year to build a house. So, you know, my guess would be, and this is a guess, so this is not a promise to anything, but I'm guessing she's going to be in within a couple of months, you know, maybe a little longer than that. But
if you have any more questions along the way, thanks for what you said, being a loyal listener. You know the number. Call us back, and we'll help you any way we can. Let's go to Bruce in Tucson. We were talking mini splits earlier, and he wanted to continue on that conversation. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. My question is this. I'm considering putting in a mini split in my garage, and I'm trying to figure out how much electricity it's going to take to run that per month. It says to see whether I'm interested in doing it. And I realize there's different sears. I've installed a few of them myself with a dial, and I've put in a bunch of Mirages also myself on some other property. But I've never figured out how much it actually costs to run one. And so that's my question, is how do I figure that out so I can see if I want to put one in my garage?
Romy, do you want me to?
You put one in your garage.
I did. Yeah. Bruce, great name, by the way. I put one in my garage. So the first thing, there's a very basic calculation. You know, obviously there's some variables in it, but this can help you. You have to take the kilowatt hours that air conditioner is listed that it's going to use or is going to use.
And it's probably not going to tell you in kilowatts. It's going to tell you how many volts and amps.
Yeah. So you're going to have to, and I don't have all those off the top of my head. Math was not my favorite subject. So, but what you basically have to do is you have to figure out the kilowatt hours that it's going to use, you know, kilowatts per hour, and multiply it by the kilowatts per hour unit cost. And the unit cost is going to be the unit cost from your power company. So that, you know, there can be some variables depending on time of day, if you're on, you know,
on peak, off peak.
On peak, off peak, that sort of thing. But you take the kilowatt hours that you figure out from the unit, multiply it by the kilowatt hour unit cost, and that should give you the cost to operate that air conditioner for 1 hour, and that would be constant running, which when you have it on in a garage, unless you've really gone above and beyond, got that insulation in the space above it, got an insulated garage door, done some extra weather stripping, they're going to run a little more than a garage than if you put it in an inside home office.
Yeah, and there's a website called Rapid Tables. It has all kinds of great converter calculator tables that you can go to. So select the unit you want. You'll need the volts and the amps that the unit runs at. Plug it in and it'll calculate it. And then I'll give you your kilowatt hour per 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And then go to your power bill and find out, you know, how many kilowatt, what your cost per kilowatt hour is being charged. And that can be, you know, anywhere from 4 cents to 20 cents based on your utility provider and if you're on peak or off peak. So if it's, even on the high end, if you want to run it 2 hours in the afternoon while you're out there, you know, 20 cents an hour, 40 cents to run a mini split, that's pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned, you also, when we were, before we took you on air, we were screening that you have a evap cooler as well. Well, one thing that I really think we need to do a better job of driving home is energy savings is also water savings. So not only are you, if you go that route, you know, calculate what you're not using in your water consumption on an evap cooler, and that evap cooler is probably costing you more than that 20 cents an hour is anyway. So not only are you running a very efficient and comfortable unit, you're saving additional water resources as well. Yeah. One additional thing to calculate in. Energy savings is water savings. And that's something we'll continue to talk about during this whole water month at Roseanne the House, but not in our open home hour. I say that, and then our weekly to-do is being prepared for flash flood.
Well, that's a different kind of water.
Yeah, kind of water. That's the water you don't want.
Yeah, that's not the kind you want to save.
No. Or your car.
Oh, flash flood. And mainly as this article relates to your home, is a flash flood inside your roof. If you've got a roof leak or some kind of storm damage, a window leak, a sidewall leak, whatever the case may be. We put this together 18 months ago, so we didn't know this was going to be coming after the fact of when we got most of our, well, hopefully not most of our.
Yeah, hopefully we get some more.
Hopefully it wasn't. We didn't know it was going to be 2 weeks after the facts, and if you were going to experience flood damage, you probably already have. But that's at rosieonthehouse.com. You can just click on the quick links, and it talks you through the things to before. And Susan found a couple neat things in weather services there and alerts that you can sign up for if one's coming to your particular area.
Yep.